And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. You have tuned in to the first edition of the Bowl Expert Picks podcast. This is episode one, The Phantom Menace. We got Jerry Hinnon. We've got Tom Fornelli. It feels very, very good to be back here on the old Eye on CFB podcast lines. Tom, we are sitting here and we are days away from the beginning of the bowl season. Is there a particular game before we break into them? And of course, as usual, we will run down a list of bowls. We will give our straight up picks, our against the spread picks, as well as discussing the selections from Dennis Dodd, Bruce Feldman, Jeremy Fowler, and the public as well. Anything on the first weekend that's particularly jumping out to you and why?
I think Saturday, we got four games the first day there. I think the game that sticks out to me the most in those four is the Las Vegas Bowl, just because I think Fresno State USC is a good matchup. It's two ranked teams, although, you know, with USC being on roughly its ninth interim coach of the season, maybe it won't be as good as the billing. But other than that, on the opening weekend, I would say that game on Saturday, and then not really until next week's Poinsettia Bowl on Thursday do I really, you know, is there another game that I really have to see?
Jerry, do you have anything in any angle here other than like I'm looking at Tulane, Louisiana, Lafayette, and I want to get excited about it. I really do. But Tulane had a pretty solid defense. They were good at taking the ball away. Louisiana, Lafayette always brings the heat, but Terrence Broadway broke his throwing arm. I'm kind of with Tom right now. Do you have another game here in the opening weekend that's standing out other than the Las Vegas Bowl?
Well, I'm interested, honestly, to see what Buffalo does against San Diego State. The Bulls are a team that has some star power there in Brandon Oliver at running back, and, of course, Khalil Mack, the, you know, All-American linebacker, you know, right there in the mix for the Buckus, all those kinds of things. You know, the Mack has, you know, sort of struggled at times in bowls, but then they kind of did a little bit better last year. This seems like the sort of game that Buffalo is going to be more excited about playing than San Diego State. At the same time, the game is in Boise, Idaho, which is a big, big trip from Buffalo. It's far away. It's going to be cold, although, of course, it's cold in Buffalo, too. I don't know. I'm just intrigued by what the Bulls can do in this situation, and they're facing an Aztecs team and Adam Uwema that also has a pretty big star there on offense. I just think that one might be the sleeper. That's the one that I see, you know, maybe coming down to the final couple of plays and just being a very well-played, entertaining game.
Well, let's go ahead and get things started with the Gildan New Mexico Bowl. We will all have our mom sweatshirts on at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, as Albuquerque, New Mexico will be the site between Colorado State finishing 7-6 and Washington State 6-6. A big, big for Mike Leach to be able to get the Cougars back here in a bowl game. The way that we picked this was Washington State as a 3.5-point favorite. It is floated in the public realm up to 4, 4.5. I will start with you, Jerry. What is your thinking on this game? We know we've got Capri Bibbs, sort of the focus of Colorado State. Washington State, you know they're going to sling it around. How do you think this matchup is going to work?
Well, something I paid attention to after last bowl season was that coaching experience with your given team seems to be a major factor in how you perform in the bowls. And in this case, it doesn't really help. Both McElwain and Mike Leach have been at their respective programs for 2 years. So, you know, then I want to think about, okay, well, which team's going to be the more motivated? In a bowl situation, talent matters, but maybe not as much as it does during the regular season. It's about who can stay focused, you know, over the big layoff, who is more fired up about playing this particular game. And I think in this case, those arrows sort of point in Colorado State's favor. I think they're the team that's going to go looking for a Pac-12 scalp. They're a program that hasn't been in the bowl for quite some time. And of course, neither is Washington State. But the Rams being the underdog in this situation, I kind of like their chances to be able to hang with Washington State and even pull it out in the end. You mentioned Capri Bibbs has had an outstanding season. Washington State, Not as bad as they were last year, but still not particularly good against the run. Finished in the 80s in both total rush defense and yards per carry allowed. I like Colorado State to be able to control the clock a bit. Hopefully you would expect them to make a couple of plays against Connor Halliday, who's been so sloppy with the ball all season. I think it's going to be close, but I do think the Rams' running game proves to be the difference.
Tom, what's your take on this this first game to get us kicked off with the bowl season?
First of all, my mom totally has Gildan sweatshirts.
Oh, I've got Gildan sweatshirts.
You are 100% right on the mom sweatshirt line, because I know my mom has at least five. They're all like holiday-themed ones, too. As far as the game, I'm actually leaning towards Washington State. I feel like I saw in the first game of the year, the one game of Colorado State's that I truly saw from beginning to end against Colorado. The Buffaloes were able to move the ball through the air on them, and Paul Richardson was a big part of that. I just look at Washington State's offense with Leach. They're going to air it out, and I think they're going to have a matchup advantage with their wide receivers and their passing attack against this Colorado State secondary, which to me gives them the edge, because I agree with Jerry. There's motivation for this game on both sides. Neither one of these teams is really showing up saying, oh, I don't care, because neither of them have been to a bowl game in a while, so it's important for both programs. But I'm going with Washington State simply because I think they just have a bit too much firepower and offense. Although, as we always know when it comes to Washington State games, Mr. Halliday is more than capable of, blowing things up with interceptions.
Yeah. Certainly is. We have hinted to it so far through these first couple minutes of the podcast. The Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl between Fresno State and Southern Cal. It is filled with a couple things. It is filled with NFL talent, as Fresno State has Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, an offense that has been among the best in the country. USC, we've got a lot of players who we don't know exactly what they're going to do as far as the NFL draft. Guys like Marquise Lee, Deion Bailey over there in the secondary. There are a lot of players here for Southern Cal that will benefit from showing up. So even if there's not a team motivation with Coach O out and offensive coordinator Clay Helton in, I'm anticipating hopefully a good game between these two. Tom, let's go right back to you. What was your breakdown in this game? And why don't you talk a little bit about your Southern Cal pick? We picked this, by the way, folks, at 6.5, and I'm pretty sure that's about where it is most places.
Yeah, I'm the only one of us who picked SC, and that includes the senior writers. And I think we'd all agree that if Southern California wasn't in a situation right now where it was on its third interim coach, I think most of us would be picking USC in this game. And I think the biggest question just is motivation, whether the Trojans really want to play. But if they do show up to this game and actually come to play, I don't have a lot of questions, simply because I don't think Fresno State is really that good of a team. And I think that USC's defense, especially up front, can give that Fresno State offensive line a lot of problems. And while USC's secondary hasn't been great, I think it's good enough and there's enough talent in there where they'll be able to do an effective job of covering the Fresno State receivers. So, and then when you flip it over, USC has about a cadre of like 15 running backs they use very effectively.
Yeah.
And I don't see Fresno State being able to stand up to that kind of attack for a quarter, let alone four. I think this is a game where USC is going to completely control the time of possession, control the clock, won't even let Fresno State's offense get on the field. And I think USC should win this one rather handily. But again, the biggest caveat is that USC needs to show up wanting to play.
Yeah, I think that running game is very important. Silas Red will probably be out. Trey Madden is questionable with an ankle injury. But none of that has mattered, as now we've got sophomore Javorius Allen has sort of emerged as this rusher who's gone for over 100 in like three out of the last four games. Jerry, you took Fresno State not for some of the many reasons that Tom just mentioned. I am wavering on my Fresno State plus 6.5. I think that I am relying on the firepower of Derek Carr to at least keep this close, or a motivation. Are you feeling comfortable about Fresno State to even say that they might win this game?
I hedged my bets a bit. I took USC straight up for a lot of the reasons that Tom mentioned. I think they're simply the more sort of talented team. Certainly when you look at Fresno State's defense versus USC's defense, it's not even close to being a competitive comparison between those two particular units. I do look for there to be a lot of points scored in this game, though, and that sort of leans me towards taking the 6.5. again, you know, looking at the coaching matchup, you know, as we pointed out, Clay Helton's the interim guy for SC, which is big Demaris versus Tim DeReuter, who's been there a couple of seasons now. You know, again, Fresno and those players, though, there's nothing in, you know, there may not be a program they would like to beat any more than sort of California's, you know, big heavyweight kind of program. And so having this opportunity against not only SC, but an SC team that, you know, is still beatable, you know, despite all the talent we just mentioned, I think they're going to come out very focused. I think they will take kind of a big first half lead, and then USC will wake up, eventually pull away and win the game. But I think there's just enough difference there in the motivation and the focus levels to think that Fresno ought to be able to keep it close, at least.
Moving to another Mountain West team, and I wanted to take a moment and say, don't you guys feel like this will be very interesting to see these Mountain West teams in these games? Because of all the leagues, you know, I wanted to believe, just based on general performance and a lot of the inconsistencies, it seemed to me like the Mountain West was a little bit of a step back this year from the way, as in terms of a level of competitiveness. But a lot of those conference games were fun to watch. And a team like San Diego State that did knock off Boise, San Diego State played in four overtime games this year, going 3-1 when they go to an extra period. I think that the Mountain West might be cut out to have themselves a bowl season. That having been said, we are 5 of 6 in favor of Buffalo covering 2.5 against San Diego State. Let's go back to you, Jerry. And by the way, public is 75% on Buffalo as well.
Well, I think you know, another thing you want to look at with some of these bowl matchups is how the coach has done in bowl situations before. In the last couple of seasons, Rocky Long and San Diego State haven't really had a real fun time. They got blown out by BYU in San Diego last season. Kyle Van Noy, I think we all remember, going absolutely nuts on the Aztecs offense. And 2 years ago, a little bit more difficult sort of matchup, certainly in terms of geography. They went to New Orleans and played Louisiana Lafayette in their first bowl game in school history. And that game actually came down to a last-second field goal. But still failed to cover the spread. They were the favorites in that one. So, you know, I don't think Long necessarily has a great track record there. Again, Buffalo's going to be very fired up for this game. Their first bowl game under Jeff Quinn. You have to go back to the Turner Gill era to see when they last played in a bowl. So I think, you know, Buffalo certainly has the talent, I think, to in Khalil Mack and Brandon Oliver, you know, in a very stout offensive line, I think, in a lot of cases, you know, to sort of, you know, win some of those one-on-one matchups that they're going to have with San Diego State. Even though San Diego State's the Mountain West team and Buffalo is the MAC team, I don't necessarily see the Aztecs as being a, you know, dramatically more talented team. I think Buffalo is the favorite for a reason. I think they're the more motivated team, and again, I don't like Long's coaching track record. So for all those reasons, I like the Bulls here.
All right, Tom, what you got?
I went with Buffalo because I really like Khalil Mack. I like Oliver too. I think they probably are the two most talented players in the game. But mostly I went with Buffalo because their blue uniforms will mesh with the blue turf at Boise. Ooh. But no, also, I the only thing I know for sure, I'm not really confident either way. I picked Buffalo, but I have a feeling that this will be a close game because if you just look at San Diego State's season, they've played 12 games, 4 of which went to overtime, and then 4 more of which were settled by a touchdown or less. So I'm looking forward to that because San Diego State just typically has a tendency to play close games. But I do think Buffalo will come out ahead.
Yeah, I'm with. I think this is going to be a close game. Jerry mentioned it earlier. Tom mentioned it just now. But yet, we are 5 out of 6 taking the Buffalo to cover by field goal. I'm feeling like I might be wrong there. I have no idea why the New Orleans Bowl is not on our expert picks page, but we did pick it.
I have an answer.
Oh, you do?
Our producer Darren. I just asked him, and apparently our software doesn't recognize pick'ems. Like, that's sort of caused a glitch in the system. So that will be fixed momentarily, folks. By the time you listen to this, it should be repaired. But and one team or the other will be listed as a half-point favorite. So if you're wondering, we discussed this earlier in the season, why that we had a game that was listed as a half-point spread, which makes no sense in college football since there's no ties. But anyways, one team or the other will be a half-point favorite.
So, Tom, what was your pick, considering it a pick 'em, though Public now has it swung to a two-lane 2.5?
Ooh. I agree with the Public simply because Louisiana Lafayette really hasn't looked very good since Broadway got injured. And I honestly, I don't have a ton more analysis than that because I believe it or not, I have not seen a lot of Tulane or Louisiana Lafayette football this year, so I can't give a very informed opinion on that. But just the last few weeks, when Broadway went down, we saw them lose to Monroe, and then we saw them get, you know, blown out by South Alabama, which isn't a terrible Sun Belt team or anything, but it's not exactly a good team either. And considering that Louisiana Lafayette was 8-2 and 5-0 in the Sun Belt before going into those games, I think it shows just how important Broadway is to that team.
Jerry, I agree with you, by the way, Tom.
I'm with the Raging Cajuns in this matchup. I realize Broadway, is out and that they did not look good against South Alabama. But South Alabama is a little bit underrated. I think they went 6-6 and they lost like 4 games by less than a touchdown. So they're, I think, a little bit better than that record. Could have very easily gone bowling themselves. We all remember one of those games was a very narrow loss to Tennessee. So I'm not really all that fazed by the Jaguars winning that one handily when ULL basically had their bowl berth here in the New Orleans Bowl already wrapped up, had already won the Sun Belt, had absolutely nothing to play for. I think this little bit of a layoff will help ease the sting of losing Broadway. And Tulane was one of those teams that won a few of those games where, there were a lot of turnovers for the other side. The East Carolina game in particular, I remember, was a big upset for them, but happened, with the Pirates, finishing with like a 200-yard advantage or something like that. So Tulane was a team that maybe wasn't quite as good as their record. I think Mark Hudspeth, has a very solid track record so far in these bowl games. Very familiar with the New Orleans Bowl. He's been there 2 years in a row, won it both times. And it's basically a home game, for both of these teams. The Raging Cajun fans have bought up tickets by the thousands. Again, this game is a sellout, by the way, in the Superdome. That was announced today, I'm pretty sure I saw. So it's going to be a terrific atmosphere. And I just think top to bottom, ULL is still just a little bit better team, better defense, maybe a little bit more comfortable in their offensive scheme. And I like them to win the game even without Broadway.
I do think one kind of important point, though, to remember is that this is essentially a home game for Tulane, considering the game is being played in their home stadium.
But there will be 40,000 ULL fans there.
But they are familiar with the surroundings of the Superdome.
Yeah, but so is ULL. They've played there in this game 2 years in a row. It's, within an hour and a half drive, less than 2 hours.
Yeah, but I mean, my family comes to visit sometimes. That doesn't mean it's their house.
we were talking about ECU, Jerry. ECU did miss several field goals in that game, in that loss to Tulane. And ECU is in our next game, the Beef of Brady's Bowl. They are a 12.5 point favorite against Ohio. The final game for old Tyler Tettleton. Tom, what are you thinking about Tyler Tettleton? Right now, 4 out of 6 experts taking ECU to cover the nearly 2-touchdown favorite, 2-touchdown spread. The Public has 83% siding with ECU against the spread. Jerry and I are the only ones taking Ohio. What do you like about Ruffin McNeil's Pirates?
I just think they're fun to watch.
They're good. Good offense.
Yeah, this is a game. The matchup is essentially going to be ECU's offense versus Ohio's defense. I'm siding with ECU simply because I like ECU more than I like Ohio this year. When it comes to these kind of bowl games, these early games with these teams from the minor, smaller conferences, it's kind of hard to really pick and feel solid either one way, which is why a lot of these spreads are so close. But is this the largest spread we have of any of the games?
Rutgers and
aside from Rutgers and Notre Dame,
I believe so. Yes.
My honest inclination when I was trying to figure this game out, because I was going back and forth, but when I saw the line was that big, I figured maybe Vegas might know what they're talking about in this situation. Maybe East Carolina truly is that much better than Ohio. So, and I also remember Ohio against Louisville earlier this year, which was a passing attack that kind of tore apart Ohio's secondary. And Louisville doesn't really fling the ball through the air as often as East Carolina does or as quickly. So I went with the Pirates in the end.
Jerry, you and I are on Ohio. I was thinking a little bit of the way that Rakeem Cato was able to have success against ECU's defense. But then again, I you know, like Tom said earlier, with Ohio sort of being a middling MAC team, I can't say that I saw every single one of the Bobcats games this year. I've seen more Charlotte Bobcats games than Ohio Bobcats games this year. But what do you like about Ohio in this one?
What I like is Frank Solich. What I like is that last season, Ohio really slumped down the stretch, did not play particularly well, and then showed up in Shreveport, Louisiana, against Louisiana Monroe for what had been a very good ULM team's first ever bowl game, and then just completely blew the Warhawks out of the water, which was pretty surprising to me. I was like, in my confidence pool, ULM had been one of my very highest confidence picks because you think they're playing so much closer to home and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I'm not going against Ohio this season, certainly. I picked ECU to win the game, but with the 12.5 points and Frank Solich there on the Ohio sidelines, they also did very well 2 seasons ago. They traveled out to Boise and the Humanitarian Bowl and beat a very good Utah State team in that game. So after those two bowl successes, I'm riding with Solich.
I think the most important part of this game is the Beef O'Brady commercials that end with that old guy just yelling, "See you at Beef's."
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Got it. Little Caesars. Is there a Little Caesars in, is that part of any y'all's pizza rotation?
No.
Me neither.
How dare you, sir?
They're cobbling together, I guess, most of their money instead of opening up new stores, making sure that they can host Pittsburgh and Bowling Green.
Yeah, I don't even remember the last time I saw
the proper business strategy there.
Hey, bowls are not a bad idea to make money. All right, Hawaii Bowl, Christmas Eve, before we get into Little Caesars.
What do you guys think of potatoes?
They're pretty tasty. I like them lots of different fashions.
Yeah, I like when my potatoes are delivered in R&L carriers.
Hey, that's for the New Orleans Bowl. That's right. All right, Boise State, Oregon State. Boise State will not have Chris Peterson. They will be getting Brian Harsin eventually, but we will have Bob Gregory, I believe, is the associate head coach. He'll be the interim coach for this game. Oregon State, they were on that bubble. If bowl eligibility was the NCAA tournament, they were a bubble team. I would say that they were probably one of the last four in, and the Beavs are a 2.5-point favorite the way that we selected it. Tom, you're taking the Broncos. You and I are both taking the Broncos. Four of the experts, Jerry Hinnan, Dennis Dodd, Bruce Feldman, and Jeremy Fowler, all taking Oregon State. What do you like about Boise State playing here in Hawaii on Christmas Eve?
Actually, I'm no longer taking the Broncos.
Oh, you're not?
As we know, we got in these picks pretty early.
Yes. You know,
pretty much as soon as the championship games ended, Darren was asking us for these picks. And that was before Chris Peterson left Boise to take the job at Washington. And since then, now against this Oregon State team that I didn't have a ton of faith in, I feel like going into this bowl game against the Boise State team that, you know, is a bit dejected right now because Peterson left. And I've seen some tweets retweeted by Boise beat writers talking, you know, about players that are just not happy with everything. And they're talking about commitments that are leaving and following Peterson, you know, just about kind of, you know, it's
just a bad, heaviest. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that there's a lot of bad juju coming out of Boise right now, and I think Harsin will do okay there and fix it. But at the moment with this bowl game after Peterson left, I just have I'm having a more difficult time thinking Boise is going to be able to handle an Oregon State team that, for all its struggles down the stretch, still seems to have that, you know, that whole Brandon Cooks, the Biletnikoff Award winner receiver, and still knows how to move the ball. So I think Oregon State is going to win at this point, but I originally picked Boise, yes.
All right, so Jerry, with everything that we have seen, you are taking mm-hmm. Oregon State to cover 2.5, but what kind of score are you expecting?
I'm actually expecting the Beavers to roll in this one. I think Boise has been a little bit overrated this season to begin with. They had the one really good performance against Fresno, but even that was a loss. And, you know, as we've said earlier, Fresno, you know, isn't necessarily a juggernaut to begin with. You know, they're just blown out by Washington to begin the season. They lost to San Diego State again. The Broncos just haven't been that good. They've had quarterback issues. You know, it's Southwick and the guy whose last name begins with an H, who I'm blanking on.
Halliburton.
No.
No, it's, what the hell is his name? Hedrick.
Hedrick, that's it. Thank you. So, you know, Oregon State, again, Mike Riley's been there for a very long time, is very in tune with how to prepare his team for a bowl, which is the complete opposite of the Boise State coaching situation. I think this game is, you know, the Hawaii Bowl for some reason tends towards the blowout as well, as we've seen, particularly when June Jones and SMU are in town, but... Anyways, I think even without him this go-round, this is like a 35-13 kind of game, maybe.
Man, Boise's used to this. This is a Mountain West home game. They'll be ready to rock. All right, let's go ahead and get to that Little Caesars game. This will be on the 26th. We got Bowling Green, sans Dave Clawson, and according to our own Jeremy Fowler, the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator will be on their way to follow Dave Clawson to Wake Forest, going up against a Pittsburgh team that is not playing in the BBVA Compass Bowl.
Yay!
I mean, this is just a really, really great moment for the Panthers to not be playing.
Detroit. Congratulations, Panthers. You're finally not going to Birmingham.
You're going to Detroit.
Yeah, you don't have to go to Birmingham, but...
You got to go to Detroit.
We've
got 5 of 6 taking the Panthers. The way that we picked it, it was Bowling Green -5.5. I'm tempted to take Pittsburgh to win this game straight up. Tom, what are you thinking about this one? With either from what we've seen from the coaching angle or just with Pittsburgh in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think even if Clawson and that staff is there entirely, I might sort of lean towards Pitt with a 5.5-point spread. But without Clawson and without, you know, the other coordinators that will be following him to his new job down at Wake, I just have a really tough time seeing Bowling Green be able to pick this one off against Pitt, because I know Pitt had a mediocre season in the ACC, but it's still, you know, they've still got Aaron Donald. They've still got a ton of talent, and they're just bigger than Bowling Green. So in this matchup, I kind of see Pitt overwhelming Bowling Green up front and the Falcons not being able to overcome that, particularly with so many interim coaches and, as we've mentioned before, college football players playing for a bunch of guys they know won't be coaching them next season.
If there is a spot where Bowling Green can get in there and be an equalizer, Pitt's offensive line has not been very good this year. They are among the nation's worst, I believe, in sacks allowed. Bowling Green, very good defense, can get a very good pass rush. And if Tom Savage does not have time to find Devin Street, Tyler Boyd, and the like down the field, then this will just be a rock fight. What are you thinking about this game, Jerry?
Well, first of all, let me say that, you know, despite the joking, having gone to college in Birmingham and then having lived in Ann Arbor for 3 years, you know, which is not too far from Detroit, Birmingham and Detroit are both very fine cities to visit.
Then why'd you leave both of them?
Well, I live close to Birmingham now, about an hour away, but still, I don't know if I would pick December, mid-December, late December as the time I would want to visit either one. I'll just say that. As far as the game goes, I agree. Rock fight is the first thing that sort of comes to mind when I look at this game. But the difference is that I know Pitt has offensive capabilities from time to time with Savage and Street. This is the same team that beat Duke 58-55, if I'm remembering correctly, earlier in the season. Whereas I think Bowling Green has already played their perfect offensive game. I think it's definitely downhill after that Northern Illinois game, particularly with the coaches leaving. I just think this is a case of Bowling Green, it kind of being a job well done already. And I don't just see them being as prepared for this game as Pitt's going to be.
Utah State and that Northern Illinois team will be playing in the, what'd you call it, the Hipster Bowl?
The Hipster Bowl.
Yeah,
Hipster Bowl.
This is the Hipster, and it would be the real Hipster Bowl, as Tom pointed out, if we did have Chucky Keaton against Jordan Lynch. We got, but we do have, this is the final game for Jordan Lynch, a Heisman Trophy finalist. They are not in this BCS game, so I'm going to ask you, Tom, do you think that motivation will be an issue for Rod Carey's squad, as you did have that disappointing game loss, you know, first loss against a MAC team in 2 years, first loss, regular season loss in 2 years, or not 2 years, but first regular season loss against a MAC team. Is there going to be any kind of slogging through this game against Utah State, who finished the year winning the division and really pushing Fresno State to the edge in that Mountain West title game?
No. I think Northern will be fine. This is a team that generally has always played with a chip on its shoulder as it is. And I think with the loss at the MAC and people just, you know, kind of writing it off saying, see, I told you they didn't deserve their spot. And then Jordan Lynch not winning the Heisman. I think they've got plenty of motivation going into this game. And I think Jordan Lynch, I mean, Utah State's defense could probably be one of the best defenses that he's faced so far this year. And I do think that Jordan Lynch and the Huskies will get it done. I've been picking against them for a few weeks now. So at this point, they've proven me wrong time and time again. And I'm I picked them in the MAC championship game, and then they just lost despite me. But
so this is an expert picker scorned. As we know, there is no wrath like the wrath of an expert picker scorned.
No, there isn't. So I'm picking them to I'm picking them to win, so they lose. Haha. No, I just want to watch Jordan Lynch. You know, I think he's going to treat this game like it's his last game. And I think in the inside, while he's going to try to go to the NFL, he knows that this might be his very last game ever as a quarterback as well. So I think that he's going to have a lot of motivation going in. And I expect him to be running over some Aggie linebackers. We got some breaking news, folks.
Really?
Bowling Green has hired Dino Babers as its new head coach.
What?
Oh.
How does that change your pick?
It doesn't, but it kind of changes my pick as an Illinois person who, you know, was hoping that Dino Babers would still be available next year after Tim Beckman possibly maybe got fired.
But that's another topic for another podcast. Onto the Military Bowl. All right, we got to start rocking. All right, Marshall and Maryland. Marshall, a 2.5-point favorite. They got to that Conference USA title game, but were not able to take care of business against Rice, and they go up against a Maryland team that is bowling for the first time under Randy Edsall. C.J. Brown, healthy, sort of getting it done with it. Once they lost Stephon Diggs and Deion Long, he really was the offense. Again, we've got the Terps as a 2.5-point dog. Jerry, what's your read on this game? Not too far. The game will be in Annapolis on the campus of the Naval Academy, further from Huntington, but not far from College Park at all.
No, well, again, I'm not sure how much the geography is going to play in Maryland's favor. It's not a far, you know, this is not a major trip for the herd here. And again,
just saying it could be a good atmosphere. Like this,
this is
a game
fan bases will be well represented, which the Military Bowl I think could use. Last year, if I remember correctly, it was San Jose State and Bowling Green, and the attendance was like a bowl record low or something like that. It was not good.
Like 15 people at that game.
So I'm glad that they've got what looks like a pretty solid matchup. And even though this is Maryland's first bowl, I still like Marshall to have a motivational edge playing up to an ACC team. Rakeem Cato, I think, probably is going to want to show off his arm a little bit. And again, you know, just I like leaning with a longer tenured coach, you know, who's been in these bowl situations before. So this is a tough call, I think, for a lot of reasons. Maryland, I think, is certainly the more talented team, but a lot of that talent, of course, has been lost to injury, you know, because Randy Edsall is, you know, the coach there and apparently, you know, crossed over an Indian burial ground at some point. So I'm leaning towards Marshall. Just won't be surprised if it goes the other way.
Jerry's taking Doc Holliday. Tom, what are you thinking?
I agree with Jerry on a lot. I don't have a ton of confidence in this pick either way, but I went with Marshall, and it really does come down to Rakeem Cato. If he plays well, I think Marshall wins. If Rakeem Cato doesn't play well, I think Maryland wins.
61% of the CBSSports.com voting public agree with both of you. There is a much heavier dispersion, as 87% of CBSSports.com's voting public likes Minnesota to cover 5.5 against Syracuse. This game is not close. We just said the last game might be a good atmosphere. I don't know what kind of fan turnout we're going to have from Minnesota and Syracuse as they are playing in the Texas Bowl. Of course, Troy Nunes is a magician. Sean Keeley did organize they're sending kids to this game, which is very cool. Go to CBSSports.com or check them out on SB Nation for more information on that. Tom, you followed Minnesota pretty closely this year. The offense slowed down near the end of the season. This is a Syracuse defense that's pretty decent. How do you think that this matchup's going to go? And are you anticipating them being able to find some of that same magic with Philip Nelson that they had about the middle of the season?
Yeah, I'm surprised the public is so heavily on Minnesota. I think it's people just looking at the two records. and going off that, because I picked Minnesota, but like for the reasons you mentioned, I'm not like incredibly confident in that, because to me, 5.5 points is a lot of points for a Minnesota team that has struggled to score in the recent weeks. I mean, in that game against Wisconsin, they didn't have a single offensive touchdown. Their only touchdown was on defense. And in their final game of the season, they didn't put many points on the board either. In fact, they only put 3 points on the board against Michigan State. And granted, Wisconsin and Michigan State are very good defenses, but Syracuse has a decent defense as your own. And I do think Minnesota is going to win, and I pick them because I don't have a ton of faith in the Syracuse offense. But I'm not exactly super confident in it. I do think maybe a few weeks off of preparation, maybe they get some things figured out, because they lost their leading receiver before that Wisconsin game. It really, they've never been much of a passing team, but once they lost them, it kind of, you know, it really threw the passing game into disarray. That's a good word for it. So I think they'll get some of those kinks worked out. At least that's what I'm counting on. I'm not exactly confident in it, but I'll go with the Gophers.
What are you thinking, Jerry?
I'm thinking I picked against Minnesota a lot this season, and that didn't go very well for me. So, you know, Syracuse, I think Scott Schaefer actually did a very good job this season. A lot of people expected the Cuse to take a big step back this year. Getting them to a bowl is a nice accomplishment. But bottom line, I do think Minnesota has simply been the better team over the course of the season. And after losing this game in sort of tough fashion last season, I believe, to Texas Tech, I think they'll be ready to come back and win it this season.
That was a good point. They really pushed Texas Tech. Would they hold a lead and then gave it up?
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
That game was really, really close.
It was a very fun game last year.
Yeah.
It was kind of back and forth, most of it.
Nice. All right, so we're going from there to the Fight Hunger Bowl. Kraft apparently doesn't want to fight hunger anymore. They're not sponsoring this game. We've got Washington as a 3.5-point favorite. Again, we've got coaching situations. Chris Peterson will be taking over the Huskies, but not yet. Steve Sarkisian will be he is, of course, already gone. He is recruiting and very much a part of the Southern Cal program now. You know, we're taking this at 3.5, and BYU, a up-and-down team offensively, Taysom Hill, and they used a breakneck speed at sometimes using high tempo, 80-plus plays a game. On defense, you have a solid unit, Kyle Van Noy, kind of as the star. Jerry, let's start with you here. I think that we're split 3-3 among the experts. It's a 64% with Washington on the public picks. This is one, especially at 3.5. I had zero confidence in my selection here, but I am really hoping for the best. Like, I feel like if Washington brings its best and BYU brings its best, this could be a really, really good game.
Yeah, I think this is the most interesting game out of the ones we're picking here in the early bowl stretch. I think both teams have some stars, some really good players, but again, I think this interim coaching situation for Washington is not one that would make me feel really good about backing the Huskies here. You know, it's Bishop Sankey's last game, Keith Price's last game, you know, but at the same time, it hasn't quite been the sort of season those guys wanted. And now that their coach has left them, I just don't really see them being super fired up about this game. Whereas BYU, you know, anytime that they get a chance for one of these major conference scalps, you know, Pac-12, Big 12, they tend to take advantage of it, as we saw against Texas earlier this season. And again, just Bronco Mendenhall has been through many, many of these bull rodeos before. I like that experience in this situation, and I think the Cougars get it done.
We're headed out to the Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium, where Notre Dame is a 16.5-point favorite the way that we picked it against Rutgers. Rutgers lost 3 in a row to teams that were not bowl teams before finally being able to punch that ticket to bowl eligibility. They never really had a full healthy season from Paul James. Notre Dame had tons of injuries, whether it be on the defensive side or the fact that they never really had consistent rushing attack. Of course, Tommy Rees, with his own issues, no Everett Golson. So this seems like a disappointment, not a disappointment to be bowling, but this is certainly not where either team had their expectations coming into the year. Tom, why do you think that these three senior riders are so confident that Notre Dame is going to cover a 16.5-point spread in a bowl game outside in Yankee Stadium when it seems to me like this is just going to be an ugly game?
Yeah, I couldn't speak for them. I would say maybe they were drunk when they made their picks. And also, no, I think the biggest difference to me, like I mentioned earlier, we made these picks pretty early, and since we've made these picks, Notre Dame has lost both of their coordinators, both on offense and defense. They've gone on to head coaching jobs. So I think on the coaching staff, there's just a lot of, you know, there's not going to be, there's a lot of new people standing in the new roles for this game. And also, like you mentioned, the injuries on defense. And then just the fact that coming off of the national title game and then having to play in the Pinstripe Bowl, which maybe if this is your first time playing in Yankee Stadium, maybe there's a little, you know, kind of a cool factor about it and getting pumped up. But Notre Dame's already played in this stadium before, so there's nothing really new to it for the team. I mean, and Rutgers had a bad season itself, but I feel like this is going to be a bad weather game between two teams that really aren't at 100% playing ugly football. And if there's a 17 points, you know, to take in that kind of game, I'm going to take them.
I think we get Jerry over under 3.5 total interceptions for this game.
Tommy Rees and Gary Nova.
Gary Nova's not playing.
Oh, he's okay. Well,
Jerry
Nova's backup. I'll take the over on that. Like, you know, both of you pointed out, this just doesn't seem like a high scoring game.
No.
I'm not completely sold on Rutgers being able to cover this. I actually kind of went back and forth a bit because Rutgers just played so terribly down the stretch of the season. Just really did not perform up to expectations at all. They lost that big game against, I think it was Louisville, and things just sort of didn't go their way after that. So I'm not confident they're going to be able to keep this all that close against the Notre Dame team that, frankly, I think is underrated at this stage. Beat Michigan State, beat a lot of very good teams, USC, you know, during the season. If Notre Dame is fully focused and, you know, on point, I think they actually could turn this game into a blowout win, something like 24-3, 31-7, something like that. But that said, again, the conditions, the sort of letdown factor, I think this is just going to be a, okay, let's everybody come out and get through this and, you know, go into our offseason kind of situation. And so in the end, I think it's going to be, you know, a 21-10 sort of game.
Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly did say on this very podcast earlier this year, plug, that he felt that his team was much better. This is such coach speak, but he did say that he wished that they could replay some of the games from the beginning of the season because he felt that a lot of the young players, especially that got time with due to all the injuries, that they got better throughout the season. So, yep, I agree with you, Jerry. I feel good about it, but not necessarily because I feel great about Rutgers staying on the same page as Notre Dame, more just right. a total issue altogether. I would feel horribly if I was a North Carolina fan and saw all six of us taking North Carolina to cover 3.5 against Cincinnati, the same Cincinnati team, which has just been known to pop up out of nowhere with a random spurt of explosive football, but then at the same time completely trip over themselves a la the Miami game, which nobody should have won. There should have been no wins given out for Miami of Ohio against Cincinnati. Tom, what's your thought here when you're looking at Cincinnati and North Carolina? The records really don't tell the product. I think these are two very even teams, and I'm surprised that there is such heavy support for the Tar Heels on the expert picks.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I thought at least one or two of us would pick Cincinnati, but I agree. I think North Carolina, they're very even teams, and really I just went with it because I feel like overall North Carolina, I think, has more talent on offense than Cincinnati does. So I went with the Tar Heels simply because of that, and got, you know, guys like Eric Ebron, these guys that'll be, you know, possibly first round draft pick right there. And as we've mentioned on this podcast before, Cincinnati, it played well in that game against Louisville before losing in overtime, but Cincinnati's record is built on some shaky, shaky ground when you look at the opponents they've beaten this year.
Yeah, Cincinnati has only played two teams that finished with winning records, and they went 1-1 in those games. So, Jerry, what do you think about this game?
You know, North Carolina is much, much closer to the Belk Bowl. Obviously, they're in Charlotte. I think they should have a nice home field advantage in this one. Tommy Tuberville's Auburn teams, you know, back when he was taking them to bowls, were completely hit and miss, had some very good performances, had some absolute eggs laid. So you don't really know what you're getting from the Bearcats in that sense. And then, as Tom points out, like it just we still don't really know what to think about Cincinnati, given their schedule. You know, they played Louisville very tough there in their season finale, but losing that game, I think, maybe sends them into the postseason with a bit of a bad taste in their mouths. I was also, like you guys, surprised to see it so overwhelmingly in North Carolina's fashion, but at the same time, I do think that they're the more talented team, and they played very well down the stretch, and I think they end up winning this game.
Spinning the table, we've got Louisville and Miami. Louisville will be an ACC member next year, Louisville. So these are two ACC, formerly Big East, now American Athletic Conference matchups: North Carolina and Cincinnati, an AAC ACC matchup, and Louisville. This their last game they will play as an American Athletic Conference member. This time, the team from the American, Louisville, is the heavy, heavy favorite, both in the public's eyes at 85%. And in our eyes, unfortunately, as longtime listeners of the Expert Picks podcast know, when we are all lined up against Dodd, that is a bad, bad situation to be in. The spread, we picked it at 3.5. We've got, you know, likely / questionably, depends on, you know, what you think. Teddy Bridgewater's at least last game of the season. Charlie Strong is the odds-on favorite, according to Bovada, for the Texas job, and though he does not even want to address anything like that, this is a very big game for both programs, with it being right there in Orlando, and Louisville loves to be able to recruit from Florida under Charlie Strong. A lot of Florida players on that roster. I think this should be a fun game. I feel more confident in Louisville. I do, because of the defense, particularly that defensive front. Let's go to you, Jerry, first. What are you thinking about this one?
I'm thinking, you know, Charlie Strong, Texas interest or no Texas interest, showed last season in that Florida game how well he's capable of preparing his team for a bowl game. He did it the season before, too, I think, that when they were playing NC State, I want to say, came out. And I think they lost that but covered the spread, had a very good performance. So I like that. I like that he is well aware that this is kind of a big recruiting matchup, Louisville versus Miami in Orlando, as you point out. And, you know, Louisville is a team I could not get a beat on in these picks all season long. You know, just as a rule, you did not really want to back Louisville. They tended to let things be much closer than expected. But this is a little bit different kind of matchup going against Miami, as you point out. You know, a very solid, underrated Louisville defense, I think, can give Miami some problems. I'm not 100% sold on it, but I do like the Cards to win this game and cover the 3.5.
Yeah, Louisville's defense, schedule not taken into consideration, but straight up stats, one of the better defenses in the country. That was one of the things Louisville lost to UCF and just fell off the radar. It's crazy how that can happen when you're playing in one of these leagues. Such a slim margin of error. What do you think about this game, Tom? Anything stand out to you?
I just feel like this is going to be a Teddy Bridgewater showcase game.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, they're going to want to make, because Bridgewater had a relatively bad finish to the season in November. So I feel like this is going to be a game. It's got to be his last game. I said to Mark Ennis on Twitter the other day, he was talking about, you know, Bridgewater. I said, if he comes back to Louisville next year, I will personally drive down there and slap him upside the head, because there really is no reason for him to return. So I feel like this will be his last hurrah, and they're going to want him to go out on a high note. And because of that, with a spread this small, I got to go with Louisville, because if Bridgewater is going to have a monster game, then you have to think Louisville is going to win.
All right, let's last one of the podcast. And remember, folks, you subscribe, and next week we will come back. We will be doing the BCS games first and work our way backwards. We're at a very, very strange podcast schedule, but we are trying to make sure that you can get all the picks that you need. And so we've got Michigan and Kansas State. Tom, I really don't feel good about taking Michigan in this one. Is there any reason why I should? I feel like it's the more talented team, but there's just such a disappointment to be in this game.
You feel like Michigan is the more talented team, but you also feel like it's Michigan.
Yeah, this year's Michigan, particularly.
Yeah. So I went with Kansas State simply because I do not want to rely on Michigan, because I feel like this has been, I mean, 7-5 for some programs would be great, but for Michigan, 7-5, even after the whole Rich Rod era, seems like a dumpster fire, considering where things started with Brady Hoke in that first season going to the Sugar Bowl, and it's been all downhill from there. So I don't see a very motivated Michigan team coming into this game. And when you look at Kansas State, I feel like it doesn't matter who they're playing or where. Bill Snyder coach team is going to come to a bowl game ready to play.
Well, beginning of the season, I feel like
Snyder's bowl record is not good.
Oh, bring in the facts.
They're coming ready to play, Jerry.
They got thrilled by Oregon last season. I remember that.
It was freaking Oregon.
Yeah, but they didn't even show up. They lost to Syracuse in the pinstripe a couple of years ago. There's a very controversial call in that
one. Yeah, they won that game, Jerry.
Bill Snyder's not done well. They did?
No, they lost, but, I mean, they won that game. They lost on a celebration penalty.
Yeah, it was still Syracuse. Bill Snyder does not have a strong bowl track record is the bottom line. It goes further back than those two
games. Ann Arbor roots are showing, sir.
Well, in any case, I have Michigan currently listed on my expert picks, but like Tom and Boise State, I'm going to have to make sure that changes. Brady Hoke has made noises this week that it sounds like Devin Gardner is not going to play, which you can't really, blame him, since he broke, I think, every bone in his body over the final few weeks of this,
He's like a jellyfish right now.
Pretty much. If that's the case, I can't see their backup, Stephen Morris, coming in and playing Michigan to a win, leading Michigan to a win, no matter how Kansas State shows up or does not happen to show up. If Devin Gardner isn't playing, Kansas State is simply going to be the better team. And at this point, that's what seems likely.
So I need to change my pick, too, is what you're saying.
I'm not telling you what to do, Chip, but yes.
But yes.
Oh, God. Now Michigan's going to win by 40.
I know. Maybe I'll leave it. I'm going to Dodd you.
You're going to go Dodd?
I'm going to go total Dodd. I will tell him that I learned from the master.
Okay. Kansas State has failed to cover the spread in its last four bowl games.
They're due, bro.
No, five. Make that.
Oh, wow.
How many was Snyder there for all five of them?
Let's see. Not the 2006.
Don't be putting Ron Prince juju on Bill Snyder.
Okay, so he's 0-4 in his last four bowl games then against the spread.
And who were the opponents?
Ohio State in the 2003 Fiesta.
Ohio State sucks.
Pinstripe. Arkansas in the 2011 Cotton, and Oregon.
Oh, Arkansas sucked that year, too. And Oregon sucks, yeah. He's losing all these crappy teams in bowl games.
So I'm definitely staying with Michigan now. You guys have set the karma, the hashtag karma in motion. Anyway, be sure you subscribe to the Ion College Football Podcast. Again, we will continue to bring you picks all throughout these next couple weeks, as well as getting Jeremy Fowler on the line to talk a little bit of coaching carousel as it continues to spin. We've all got our eyes on Texas and the dominoes that will likely come after it. So when we've got some information, we will get it to you through the Ion College Football Podcast. For Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnan, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.